Amen. Happy 4th of July and 5th of July. Amen. 250 years. Great job. And I hope we have another 250 together. Amen. Today, as we look at the Word of God, if you've not been with us, we generally go through a book of the Bible, and we are going through Philippians, and we are nearing, as appropriately we would say, the finish line today, as we learn about that Paul is telling the people at Philippi to continue on in the race. And the big idea today is that since Christ has made us His own, we spend the rest of our lives pursuing Him. Since Christ has made us His own, we spend the rest of our lives in pursuit of Him. There is a famous movie, this dates me, called Chariots of Fire, which was about a man named Eric Liddell, who in the 1924 Olympics, it shares a part of his life, especially as it comes to the 1924 Olympics. And he was a man of God and faithful to the things of God, and he was one of those people who definitely pursued God. And you get to see all these different things that are happening in his life as he overcomes, especially in races, in order to get there. And there's some great stories about him as he is the adversity that he has faced, even within the race. At one point, he is knocked down to the ground and basically is just trying to survive the race, and everyone else is racing, and he jumps up and he catches them across the finish line. You're like, oh yeah, that's awesome. And if you know Chariots of Fire, which won an Oscar, the best thing about it is the music, you know. And as he's running on the beach with the other patriot with him as they head to the games, and as he overcomes all these different adversities, you hear in the background, da-na-na-na-na, and it's rousing music, and you get into it. And so my hope for today is, although we didn't bring the soundtrack, and I didn't prepare Jason to be playing the da-na-na-na-na, that we would also be roused today by the chorus of praise that Paul is giving here. And in the true story of Eric Liddell, he wins the gold medal in 1924 in the Paris Olympics. And he says afterwards, "It has been a wonderful experience to compete in the Olympic Games and to bring home a gold medal. But since I've been a young lad," if I really worked on this, I would have the accent going and everything, but I didn't do it for you today. "I've had my eyes on a different prize. You see, each of us is in a greater race than any I have run in Paris. And this race ends when God gives out the medals." Almost immediately after Eric Liddell won these races and gave this quote, he headed to China, where he served as a teacher and a preacher until he eventually died in a Japanese internment camp in 1945. An example of someone who had run the race, the literal race and the spiritual race well. So for today, as we listen to this chorus of enthusiasm that Paul gives us, and he uses this kind of illustration of running, he calls us forward into something greater. I want to encourage you, there are two ways that Christians are oftentimes hindered in carrying out this race and in getting to the end. Some, as they're running the race, become prisoners of the past. They look back. And they look back and they remember the glory days. You remember those big things that happened in the rearview mirror. You remember when you did something great for the Lord, or you were a part of something that was great for the Lord. Maybe a camp that you went to, or a way that you served. You remember a time when you were close to the Lord. And you reflect on that, and you're always... The solace you have for your present hindrance is the fact that in the past there was something notable. Others look at themselves now and say, well, I've arrived. I'm done. I did it. I have a long track history. I can finally rest. I've served enough. I'm just waiting to get to heaven. I'm just waiting for the final roll call. And in this passage, we see that Paul rejects both of those thoughts. He's just, leading up to this, spent 11 verses talking about the Christ as a surpassing treasure. Now he tells us what happens when Christ becomes your treasure. You never stop pursuing him. Christ is infinite, and there's always more of him to know. Remember last week we ended with Paul saying, only if I to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. This knowing is a knowing that is ongoing. It's a present active. If I could just continue to know him deeper. The first point I want you to see today is that, brothers and sisters, we have not arrived. He says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. He's going to continue to press on. Paul's referring in the this in that passage is that when Paul says, I have not already obtained this. What has he not obtained? He has not understood the full knowledge of what it means to gain Christ, to be found in him, to experience his resurrection power, to share in his sufferings. He has not understood the fullness of what that is. He's gotten a taste of it, but he's still moving in that direction. He desires a complete possession and enjoyment in Christ himself. You know, when you go to the beach, and if you've ever had that experience of looking in the balcony and seeing the ocean, You see it, and it is somewhat comprehensible. You get an idea of where you are. But if you go out in a boat, and you go out some distance, 3 or 4 miles, where you don't see shore anymore, all of a sudden, it seems infinite, right? And so for us, Paul is calling us to wade out a little bit further. There is far more to Christ than you even know. And sometimes we get into, we kind of minimize who Christ is. We don't understand how awesome and glorious and powerful he is. We can't appreciate the fullness of what it is to participate in the fellowship of his sufferings. We are limited in our scope, but he is so much more. And he calls us to know him deeper, to go into the deeper waters. Christ is awesome. And this is why Paul has not obtained it. He has Christ, but he has not yet experienced the fullness of Christ. There is still more. One of the greatest evidences of maturity is when you recognize there is more. There is more that you do not know. There is more that you have not experienced yet. And the closer you get to Christ, the larger he appears. Second thing I want you to see is that Christ pursues us before we pursue him. Paul says, I press on because Christ Jesus has made me his own. He doesn't say, I just hope that Christ will accept me. And are we always trying to do that? Like, I want to do something that I will appear as if I'm accepted, or that appears that Christ accepts me. Paul didn't find Jesus like this. He didn't do something acceptable in order to be accepted by Jesus. In fact, Paul experienced Jesus when Paul was on his way to do the most worst thing against Jesus, right? Jesus accepted him on the road to Damascus. Even when Paul was not searching for Jesus, Jesus seized Paul. That's good news for you and me, because it wasn't us who pursued Jesus. Jesus came a-looking for you and me, and he found us. And just as we didn't pursue him, he pursued us. We don't hold on to Christ. Christ has held on to us. Paul then says, but our responsibility is to pursue him. Our effort is that a response to the grace of Christ. It doesn't mean that we earn this grace by us striving for Him, by pursuing Him. We don't have to win this race in order to be accepted by God. My hope for us as the people of God is that you would have a proper perspective on how Christ views you. The love that He has for you as He sees you where you are right now. And you may be Eric Liddell, and you may have tripped and fallen, or you may have been knocked down. And you're tired, you've been racing for a while, or maybe you're discouraged, you just started the race. And you've stumbled, and you've had life come at you in ways you did not expect. And I want you in this moment to see Jesus looking directly at you, like you and I would do for any of our kids who were in a race. And as we see them stumble and we see them far off and we just yell to them, keep going, get up and keep going. And the love that is for us, the hope of success, as you are beaten down, as you have failed Jesus, as you and I have failed Jesus, He still looks at you and He says, come on, come on. I am waiting for you at the finish line. That's good news. Jesus is waiting for. He's calling us forward. And now Paul runs this race. He's running it not out of obligation, but because of the joy that is set before him. We hear this word, these same words in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Jesus says, said of Jesus that He endured the cross because of the joy that was set before Him. And so now we look at Jesus as the perfecter, the author and perfecter of our faith. And this is the same race that we run. We move forward because of the pleasure of God, the joy of God. In fact, when you watch Chariots of Fire, Eric Liddell says this. He says, I believe God made me for a purpose, but He also made me fast. And when I run, I feel the pleasure of God. And as you and I run, and as we stumble, and as we sweat, and we toil, and we labor, and it seems too much, or as we get tired, run with the pleasure of God at your back. Third, don't you see that Paul is saying, don't live in the past. You forget what lies behind, and you look forward. Paul isn't saying, don't pretend like the past never happened. He's not saying, just forget about it. Throughout Paul's letters, he is constantly reminding us. And throughout Scripture, we see a constant reminder to remember God's faithfulness. So remembering is important. Paul remembers his former life. So what does it mean, this kind of forgetting that he's saying, that what lies behind? There are two dangers in living in the past. We can either live off of yesterday's victories, or we can live off of yesterday's failures. We can look at my ministry, my accomplishments, my spiritual experiences. Paul does this himself. He says, I have a resume. If any of you has a resume, Paul says, I have a resume. He's had many victories in the past, but he says, I am counting all of that as rubbish because I am pursuing Jesus. I'm moving forward. Or we live in yesterday's failures. We look at our regret. We look at our shame. We look at our disappointments in ourselves, in each other, even our disappointment in Christ, and maybe where we have not achieved, what has not happened to us. We live in yesterday's failures. We live in the bondage of the past. The enemy loves to place chains on us. But the gospel sets us free to keep moving forward. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't grieve. This doesn't mean that we just forget the past altogether. That is what has shaped us. And there needs to be grieving, and there needs to be forgiveness, and there needs to be healing, and there needs to be reconciliation. Paul's not saying those things. But he's saying, don't live there. Don't always live there. You've got to get past, you've moved forward. You need to have your eyes on the prize. Continue to move forward in grace. Finally, the Christian life requires intentional effort. Listen to the language that he uses. He says, I strain forward, I press on. You can see a runner coming across the finish line and just leaning forward, arms pumping, eyes fixed, every ounce of energy diverted to that one thing of getting across the finish line. Grace, the grace of Jesus, this love that he's given us, this calling that's given, this choosing that he's done of us, does not mean that we make no effort. Grace redirects our effort. Before Christ, Paul exerted all of his energy in trying to earn his righteousness. Now we have received the righteousness. We are considered righteous because of Christ. But now Paul is exerting himself in the pursuit of righteousness. This is not about trying harder. It's about loving Christ more deeply. Chapter 2, Paul said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who is at work within you. God creates, grace creates the effort. Grace does not destroy the effort. I think this is a timely word for us here at Redeemer. God has blessed us in many ways. We are rich beyond our pocketbooks here. Our building is changing. We have new ministries that are happening. Our Sunday school is growing. The ministries that we serve are doing great. JAM has one more week. Pray for JAM as they finish up. We have crossover basketball happening next week as well. Man, lots of things are happening. Lots of people are coming. And so we praise God. But this is not the finish line. This is not the thing that we are measuring ourselves by. We're not measuring ourselves by buildings. We're not measuring ourselves by attendance. That is not the prize. We're not measuring ourselves by successful ministries. Christ is the prize. Everything else is simply measures of pursuit. It is part of what we're doing as we pursue him and as we make him known. We thank God for yesterday, but we lace up for tomorrow. Finally, mature Christians never stop growing. If you've paused, if you think, we have some senior saints in here, senior saints, don't stop. You may say, oh, I'm in retirement. Well, you don't retire from ministry, all right? You have a role and responsibility to continue going, and we're not going to let you off the hook. You have a responsibility to continue to serve, to continue to pray, to continue to care, to continue to pursue Christ. You are not done. Young folks, you're just starting out on this race. And I want to tell you, the way things are now are not the way things are going to be. Your life is going to continue to change. Keep pursuing Christ. That's the goal. That's the main thing. Your life is going to go up and down like this, and it's going to go like this. It's going to be sideways. It's not going to be what you expect. Continue to pursue Christ. That is the answer. That's the good stuff. Know him more intimately. Know him more deeply. We have lots of saints in here, too, who are tired. You've been serving well. And it'd be easy for you to stop and say, well, you know, I'm doing all right. Look at all this. Don't look at all this. Look at it for a minute. Praise God. And then let's go forward. Lace up. Let's keep going. Let's not just work. This is not just about ministry. This is about pursuing Jesus again. Some of you may have become tired and you've put a pause on your spiritual life. Wake up. Let's go. Jesus is still calling you. There is still a prize to receive. Move towards him today. Even today. Make a different plan. Move forward in your pursuit of Jesus. You don't know him well enough. You don't know him well enough. I don't know him well enough. Get to know him better. Know him. And as we live, we'll experience with him the fellowship of his sufferings. As we work together, as we move towards him, we will see the power of his resurrection. As we spend time alone with him, we spend time together with him, we will know him. So let us live up to the thing that we already know, that we would continue to attain those things. I want to say, for some of you, you don't need another Bible study. Come to Bible study, but that's not really what you need. You need to pursue Christ more. You need to make a step forward in obedience. Today, I want you to imagine standing before Christ. And not asking, how comfortable was I, but did I keep running? Yes, we're not going to run perfectly. We are going to stumble. But are you faithful? We have not arrived. We're still pursuing him in his infinite glory. But there comes a day. There comes a day when we do meet him. And we meet him face to face. And everything will be changed. You won't be tired anymore. You will be fulfilled. You will have a glorified body. You will be in his glorified presence. So continue to seek him, pursue him, run the good race, fight the good fight. Let us pray.